Good evening. It is Tuesday, October 11, 2022 at 6 p.m. and I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. First call to order is the Pledge of Allegiance and I will lead it, so please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have no ceremonial matters tonight, except we need to welcome our new member, yes. Assembly Member Robbins. Congratulations. And welcome to our legislative body.
Thank you.
And the other thing is we had some winners. I heard the fire truck, and it wasn't a disaster or an emergency.
No, yes.
Our Division III boys cross country are our new state champions, and all five of the team placed in the top eight. So we need to have a recognition at the October 25 meeting. All right, so congratulations.
Coached by
one of our very own, our finance director. So we are extremely proud of that. All right, roll call, please.
Yes, Assembly Members David Powell, DeBoer.
Here.
Robbins.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe. Dalrymple.
Here.
And Mayor Hiller.
Here. Persons to be heard. We'll see if anyone signed up. All right, no persons to be heard. Amendments to the agenda. Does any assembly member have any amendments? All right, seeing none, conflict of interest. Assembly Member Robbins.
It may not be, but it may be in resolution number 1022-1723, where we're transferring rural funds reserves to the school as I sit on the school board.
Very good. I'm going to rule that there's no conflict. Any objection, Assembly? All right. Thank you for declaring that. Any other conflict of interest? All right. Hearing none, let's move to item six, consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
A second.
Okay, so motion by Morrison, second by Dalrymple. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, poll vote please.
Yes, Assembly Members DeBoer.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
And Mayor Hill.
Yes. All right, now to the good part, the borough managers and department head report.
All right, good evening. Just a couple things to report on tonight. So the directors and I will be having a strategic planning session on October 18th at the Nolan Center. And basically just looking to look at our current goals and structure, solidify and modify the goals that we do have, ensure our current staffing model is meeting the needs of the community, and we're going to work building out our capital improvement prioritization list. So kind of just a day to get together and just kind of regroup, look at next year and make sure that we're moving in the right direction. With the results of the mill property, we'll be scheduling some town halls in the near future. But prior to that, we're going to be getting input from the Economic Development Committee to kind of give us an overall structure as far as kind of moving forward. And then from there, we'll probably have a kind of more of a focused group that will kind of get together that will then kind of develop some just a little bit more structure for any town halls we have in the future. So start with our Economic Development Committee, then move it to some focus groups for some stakeholders to kind of get some input, and then from there move to some town halls after that. But that'll all be coming up in the future to discuss the mill property. With the approval of the bond for the school, finance director is working on issuance of that bond. This will take time, so it'll probably take 2-3 to 4 months to get all this through and actually get the funding. So it is going to take a while. We don't expect to see any construction next summer. And then we'll also be trying to put in for grant money as well, and that could extend it a year longer if we decide to wait another year to apply for grant money again, or match funding from the state, essentially is what it is. I did talk to the Petersburg Borough Manager about some of the inter-island ferry conversations, and I think their assembly, sounds like their assembly wants to talk to this assembly, so I think it's worth a discussion. As far as the funding of something like that, you know, if the state is willing to contribute, we can kind of write a letter to the state and see if they're willing to, then that would be great.
It was my understanding that Bert Stedman was at that meeting in Petersburg, and he said that, being Senate Finance, he said that there wouldn't be any problem getting $250,000 from state coffers. So that's something.
That's what they usually get.
Yeah.
So it would be, we would need additional. But we'll talk about it. We'll have that as an agenda item at our next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and then Harbor Department continues to kind of prep for the winter season. So they've been kind of putting stuff away and getting ready for, you know, winterizing docks and the water lines and just getting everything ready for the winter season. Big kudos to Wrangell Municipal Light and Power, the Public Works Department, and the Police Department for working together on Sunday to get power restored to 8 Mile. That was had a tree fall on the line out there, knocked down, actually broke a pole in half, and then for an additional 3 poles, it knocked all the cross arms off. So pretty significant break in a location that was pretty tough to get to. So just they did a great job working together to get power restored. I think around 10 o'clock, I think, is when the power, whenever it happened, and then 11:30 that night is whenever they were finally all wrapped up and back home. So a long day and pouring rain. So just a big thanks to them to get that done.
Yes, Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Through you to Jeff. Just living out the road, I experienced the other end of that. And again, I appreciate the work that was on it. That was quite a bit of damage. But I just wanted to focus on the fact that it was one tree that did all of that. And I would encourage us to continue much more aggressively to go after the hazard trees along that line. And they've been doing a pretty good job recently, but we're still getting probably 1 or 2 outages a year because of trees coming down. And there's 2 stretch sections, that 8 Mile and then the Pat's Creek curves section. So I think maybe I have a little more interest in that than the rest of the people in town, but that power was out for 12 hours.
Right.
And fortunately, it was mostly in the daytime and stuff. But again, thanks to those guys for getting on it. But maybe we can kind of get ahead of that with some of these hazard trees.
Well, so part of the problem is that I was on private property. So it's private property tree that fell onto our line. So we wouldn't be able to get to that anyway because it's on private property. The second thing is that stretch right there, we are working with the state to go underground for that stretch because that's just a tough area for our crews to get to. We already have all the equipment to be able to do that, the materials to do that. We just got to work with the state to get the easement. So we're putting that package together, and hopefully we'll get approval from them to go underground and then jump back across over above ground. But I agree with you, and I think we'll continue to look at the trees along that entire route.
And I would encourage us to work with those property owners because they're affected by it as well. And yeah, you don't want to take out their specimen, you know, beautiful tree in their yard. But that's not what these are. These are honky old rotten hemlocks. And honestly, where that tree came down, there was equipment working there for many weeks this summer. Fell right where that equipment was. So thank God that didn't happen when they were working in there. But I think we could work a lot more with the landowners to hopefully effectively work to reduce the hazards along there.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot, for sure. Okay. Mark Armstrong, I'm not sure if I put this in the last one, but Mark Armstrong retired after 26 and a half years and of serving for the Wrangell Light and Power, and then we get a new hire, and his replacement is Dwight Yancey, so he took over. So congratulations to Dwight for moving up into that supervisory role. And then we did have the departure of Matt Shiner for one of our maintenance staff in July for public from the capital projects. So we do have a vacant position there, and then we also have a couple of vacant positions, two vacant positions at the harbor as well, and then we'll have another one coming over in Light and Power. So definitely for anyone who's looking for a job, we do have positions open, so welcome all resumes for that. This summer, Capital Projects, they completed the recoding of the Nolan Center and City Hall, as well as 3/4 of the library before the rain kind of got to them. But so definitely a big kudos to them as far as some of the work that they're doing to paint the buildings and to protect them and the preventive maintenance schedule that they're getting on. So good job there as well. And Amber did a really good job. This is posted on our website. So there's a link to this, and it has all of our projects. Amber did a good job of going through it. I don't want to go through all the projects, but it basically summarizes all of our capital improvement projects that we have. So anyone can go online and take a look at it and kind of get an update as far as all the projects that are being worked on at this time, and then kind of the updates that we have. So if there's any other questions, I'm glad to take them.
Questions? The manager and department reports are under wrangle.com webpage, and it's under government, and then you take that tab and it'll be under managers and department reports. And interestingly enough, I've gotten a lot of comments that people are reading it, mm-hmm. and not realizing that all of this is being accomplished. And I got a call just this morning that they discovered a typo, and they could not believe it was, we had a total of $24.75 million dollars worth of capments funded by grants and local. They just thought certainly that was a typo, so that this is very good. Couple of questions. When you talk about the bathroom facilities at the solid waste transfer station, and we're going to reformat that, will that involve a shower for our employees?
Yes.
Okay, great.
That's the primary reason. Showers and a washing machine.
Perfect. That's what we want. And then for the electrical department, the three megawatt transformers, have those arrived?
Not until next year.
Those were a 62-week lead item, and I touched base with the vendor this week and just asked if we were still on track, but that's next year.
Okay, next year.
We'll get them in July.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and just transformers, especially with everything going on in Florida as well. It's about a year lead time, and that was before everything happened in Florida with the hurricane. So hopefully we're not impacted too much by that.
Too much. All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you for that report. Next up is our borough clerk's file.
I don't have a whole lot. I do want to see, however, if under mayor and assembly appointments, if we can point to assembly members to the code review committee.
Okay.
In the past week, the code review committee has met to just somewhat go through the code from start to finish and look at things that need to be changed, or even whole sections that need to be changed. And in the last several years, instead what we do is when there's an ordinance that needs to be changed or a code section, I usually just go in there and I do the ordinance, we send it to the attorney, it comes back to the assembly. But I think it's a good idea to have the code review committee, so especially for large sections of the code, we can go through that, and I just think it's a good idea. So, and last year, it was the mayor and Assemblymember Gilbert at the time, and Assemblymember Morrison that was on the code review committee, but I don't think we met once. So.
Right.
But I would love to head that up, to go ahead and schedule those when need be, and it's a good committee to have. The other thing, I just want to remind the general public that it's tax-free day on Saturday, so all day, very exciting stuff. So get out there and spend your money. So, and then also for AML coming up in December. Assemblymember Robbins is going to go, and she's going to go to NEO before the newly elected officials training before the actual AML conference. And then Mayor Gilbert, you're going to be going to the ACOM, Alaska Conference of Mayors. if that precedes the regular conference as well. And I did budget for one other person to go to just the conference, which would be leaving December 6th and returning the 10th. So if any assembly members wish to go to that, and if more than one wants to go, then assembly member Gilbert can be the deciding voice.
Assembly Member Morrison.
I will already be in Anchorage, and I could. It's for medical though, so I don't know. Miss Hackett probably drop in, but that would, I don't want to take away someone else's spot if they want to go. So that's.
Well, if you're already going to be there, I could always register you for the conference, and then that. I mean, most of the conference, of course, is the travel and the hotel and stuff like that. So, and now it's going to be at the Denina Center. It's not going to be at the Cook.
Oh, okay.
So the hotel is going to be the Marriott.
Mm-hmm. So. I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Unless someone else wants to go.
Okay. I can't go.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also, of course, I said it at the certification meeting, but I'm really happy. We had a really good turnout. We had 31%, so that's up 6% from last year. So maybe we can beat that record next year. And the workers were fantastic. They did a really good job, and Capital Facilities did an outstanding job helping put up the equipment and take it down, I mean, without me even asking. So, so it went really smoothly. And then we have the next one coming up, which is the general election, November 8th. So we'll have absentee voting happening here in the Assembly Chambers with Sarah Merritt 2 weeks prior. So, and I've had several people ask me for absentee ballot applications, and so if anybody's listening and they want to have an absentee ballot sent to them, if they're not going to be in town or you just want it mailed to your house here, just come in and see me and I can help with that, or you can just log on to the Division of Elections State of Alaska website and apply for a ballot. And that's all.
Great. Thank you. Item 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Does any assembly members have any business to report? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, I would like to address something that Jeff brought up in his report. And that was, I was very happy to hear that he's going to meet with the directors for some strategic planning. My view comes that we have been dealing, spending so much time focusing on current issues and emergencies and things that need immediate attention, plan catch up. It's been at the expense of future planning, and I don't know that the borough has really done much recently. We have in the past, but I'm really glad to hear that you're going to start on that. And I think I'm reading into this that you're going to focus on, and what I hope is on some succession planning for some of your directors, if you do have retirements. I don't know if they're scheduled or not, but and then to relook at the programs and the workloads and see if there's opportunities there. And one of the things that I would hope to focus on when you guys do look at that is a little more assertive engagement with the tourism industry and the tourism sector to better position us. My view on this is that it's becoming more and more important, and we're at a stage right now where we can manage the tourism kind of uniquely in that way. And I think we need to get the right, we need to get personnel in place and structure in place to sort of engage with the industry and the community on that. And then also, I think we've talked about it before in this body, but there's a tremendous amount of grants. The list that you provided just shows that, how many projects are and the dollar amounts. Well, that's an amazing amount of work to get us to that point. But we need to do more because the infra money is out there, and I kind of view that maybe as a once in a many decades opportunity to position ourselves for that. So I just again hope that, look at your staff structures and things to maybe be ready better to tackle that, to get us forward. But anyway, I'm very, very happy to hear that you're doing that.
Thanks.
Any other reports? Well, the borough manager and Assemblymember Dalrymple are just speaking what I'm going to speak to. And that is, during this agenda item 9, I would hope that we would keep dialogue open. And I want to endorse two major goals for the assembly. And they're very simple: infrastructure and economic development. Let's have those two goals to begin with, which are very broad, but let's have that be our driving force for every meeting. And the borough manager has already addressed quite a bit of this. We do have, the second thing I want to mention is that we do have many plans that have been developed. They're old. You know, our comprehensive plan is what, 2010, I believe. And the earliest one, the most recent is the Hazard Mitigation Plan, 2020. But we can find those on our web pages. And if you can't, our borough clerk will help you find those plans. But they do have some value if we could refer to those. I also asked the borough clerk to open access on Muni Code for the minutes and the agendas of our commissions and our committees so that we can have a heads up on what planning and zoning is doing, for instance, or the Port Commission, or our Economic Development Committee, and so we can see the whole picture. I also want to... this item number 9 to be an avenue for assembly members to suggest future agenda items, and we'll use this avenue for that. Let's see. The other thing I want is several of the assembly members are in unique positions where they have contacts with major entities in our community. For instance, the business community, the school community, SEARCH, the Forest Service, WCA or SEPA. So if you have those contacts, so that we're not working at cross purposes, during this agenda item would be the time to bring forth what you're observing in those different industries. And in other words, be a liaison between the assembly and the community. And some of you will have natural inklings one way or the other. So we'll always ask about that. The other thing I'd like to do is task our Economic Development Committee, in cooperation with our borough manager and the appropriate commissions like planning and zoning, to tackle three items to begin with. The first item is to market the former hospital. The second item is to market the former mill site. And then the third task is to identify, develop, and market other borough-owned lands, including entitlement lands. And that would give us a good head start towards our goals. And then I believe our city manager, I had three requests for future agenda items, but I think he's already got them on his plate. One agenda item was to request our borough manager to contact the Petersburg borough manager to discuss Governor Murkowski's ideas on the Inter-Island Ferry Authority Northern Route, and you've already started that. I request an agenda item on our October 25th meeting for the borough manager to report a strategy and timeline to market our former hospital and our former mill site. And then to continue the manager report and department reports. I'm getting good feedback on that. Mm-hmm. Is there any other agenda item we want to tackle head on at our October meeting? We have a workshop, I believe, on the water treatment plant. So that's good news. All right. Hearing none, mayor and assembly appointments. Item A, the annual vice mayor appointment.
Madam Mayor.
Assembly Member Morrison.
I move to appoint Dave Powell for vice mayor until October 2023.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Dalrymple seconds.
Dalrymple, motion by Morrison, second by Dalrymple. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, poll vote please.
Yes, Assembly Members Robbins.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. All right, item B, the board and committee appointments. Let me get to that spot. And there's quite a few. Thankfully, we had some volunteers. For planning and zoning, I'd like to appoint April Hutchison and Terry Henson and thank them. We have an opening on Parks and Recreation Advisory open, and we'll publish for that. On the Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau, I'd like to appoint Brenda Schwartz-Jaeger and Caitlin Cardinell. On the Economic Development Committee, I'd like to appoint Caitlin Cardinell and Bob Dalrymple. And on the Investment Committee, we need one community member on that committee, and we'll advertise for that. Is there any objection from the assembly on those appointments? Okay, hearing none, they are appointed, and thank you for volunteering. All right, the next up is the annual investment committee appointments. We need two assembly members. The investment committee involves our finance director, our borough manager, very vital committee. Assembly member DeBoer and Assembly Member Morrison. Great, thank you. Thank you for volunteering. All right. And the next one and final one is the Municipal Code Review Committee, also a vital committee. We have a few outdated ordinances that we need to amend quickly so we can do business. Assembly Member Morrison?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Anyone else? Municipal Code Review?
Right here.
All right. Great. Right. Assembly Member Robbins and Morrison. And I'll be on it too. Yeah, that's a fun one to do.
It is.
And everything is vetted by the attorney. All right. All right. Under public hearing, we have none. Item 12, unfinished business, there is none. Item 13A, and this is on page 27. Resolution number 10-22-1723. Of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2022 budget by transferring $62,000 from the Secure Rural Schools Fund reserves to the Secure Rural Schools Fund CIP fund for the high school and middle school fire alarm replacement project and authorizing its expenditure.
Move to approve resolution number 10-22-1723.
Okay, second.
Motion by Morrison, second by Robbins. Administration report.
So we did end up getting another $36,635 from CDBG. So with that will cover all the design costs. Our concern is any contingency items come up, and typically that's a short timeline on a contingency item that would come up, like if it was a mod or something to the contract, something undiscovered. So we would like to go ahead and transfer $62,000 over from the Secure Rural funds into the program, just to provide us some contingency funding if needed.
Okay. And this is standard procedure.
Correct.
Correct.
And this
Assembly Member Morrison.
Is this about, 10%? extinguisher.
Right at 10%.
Yeah. Okay.
Any questions? This has been a long time coming. This is good. Mm-hmm. All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, resolution number 10-22-1724 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for a budget amendment that dissolves and or consolidates various funds in conformance with the FY 2022 budget structure.
Move to approve resolution number 10-22-1724.
Dalrymple seconds.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Dalrymple.
So we did have our audit, and these are some of the recommendations, but I'll let Mason talk to us specifically on if there's any questions on the specifics of any specific.
Yeah, so this is an item to dissolve a lot of funds that we don't use. These are funds that aren't presented in the budget, so things you probably haven't seen for a while or even knew we kind of had in the background in our accounting system. Obviously, there was some turnover in my position before, so each finance director kind of had their own vision for how things would be constructed. One of them made the accounting system really granular. So instead of having the youth court fund and the swim club fund housed under the general fund and parks and rec, they created a own separate fund that eventually had a cash balance associated with it. That cash balance can be a positive cash balance, a debit cash balance, which is what we normally see in accounting, or it can be a credit, meaning they never fully transferred funds appropriately to cover that. So in other words, the fund would be in a deficit position. So essentially what this agenda item does is it dissolves any of these funds that we're not using and places them under the appropriate fund classification as presented in the fiscal year 23 budget. So I've provided a list of entries that really are presented to you guys just to cover what I'm doing. But these dissolve these funds and kind of just stick to our core major funds that are presented in the budget. So you can see there's some material ones like Lee Burgess created a public safety building renovation fund. It's like fund 80,070. See on your first page of that exhibit A. For $682,000 was sitting there appropriated for public safety building renovation. Really, that should belong in our general fund CIP fund and address the public safety building in some respect moving forward. Obviously, we know the bonds didn't pass for that, so that might be a good start. Other material ones, the pool building fund, I mean, that's $159,000 appropriated into it. That should just, again, be in the general fund CIP fund. So you can kind of see those being transferred out of those funds and put it in the general fund for appropriation. So I think we can either move them right into the CIP fund, but I just put them in the general fund for now until you guys have a clear vision on what to actually do, because we now know the scenarios have changed a little bit. We have money for the pool siding project reserved already in this budget. We have money in some respect reserved for the public safety building, but we probably should wait till we have a formal plan B presented to the assembly before we appropriate. So that's kind of what this does. Happy to speak to any of the entries. Hopefully I didn't confuse anybody by presenting that, but that's the best way I could do it. So.
And our overall goal is moving forward is actually present this in a budget format. So we have budgeted items, and then if we want to dedicate a certain amount to those specific budgeted items every year, it actually show up in our budget. And it's not just a granular account somewhere, but you're actually seeing it, and it'll be presented in our budget, showing you like this much we would like to set aside for roads every year. It'll still be in the CIP fund, but it'll be this is how much we want for roads, this is how much we want for the public safety building, and then have that going into there every year so that it's an ongoing account that's visible, you see it, and then we can decide to put more money in it or take some out if we don't want to contribute that much, but dedicated amount for those projects that you can see that are visible.
And part of that, like how that's presented on the financial statements, is you'll see restricted funds, which are like restricted based on an outside entity's regulations or something. And then there's committed funds, which you guys have appropriated towards a specific cause. So, if you have $50,000 towards the public safety building, that's not something we should have to reappropriate each year, which we kind of did in this budget cycle. But if we are actually keeping track of the committed funds, we won't have to just ask for it back again each year and each year. So we'll have a running total of where we're at. So there's no need to have a separate fund. Otherwise, it just gets too chaotic and really kind of defeats the point of having a fund structure. So.
Well, and then you also run the risk of, as the project's completed, if there's money left over, it's sort of forgotten.
Right.
And hidden, if you will. And,
yeah, right. We kind of saw that with the, that's a great point, we saw that with the Shoemaker Bay project, right? There was a ton of money left over in that, and nobody really knew where, why it was there, or how we should kick that back into harbors and split it into the Marine Service Center, or the harbor, or the port fund. So, yeah, I agree.
And this resolution memorializes where the money was and what we're doing with that now.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
Any questions, comments, Assembly? Okay, hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Marston?
Yes.
And Mayor Taylor?
Yes. Item C. Approval of Amendment Number 6 for the Cold Storage Facility Lease Agreement with Trident Seafoods Corporation. Page 35.
Move to approve Amendment Number 6 of the Cold Storage Facility Lease Agreement with Trident Seafoods Corporation.
Dalrymple seconds.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Dalrymple. Administration report.
So what this does, it renews the lease, so it's a five-year lease. It does increase the cost of the lease, but one thing we did add into this one, it's a cost share with Trident. We do have a representative from Trident here today. But what it does present a cost share up to $15,000, 50% up to $15,000. So our share would be $7,500 of that for maintenance back into the facility. So that incentivizes both Trident and us to maintain the facility. And we, because we have the ownership of it, it is our building. So both of us to be able to maintain it, make sure it's going to be there for the future. So that's the overall goal of the lease, is it does provide some incentives there, but it does increase it with a 2% cost increase over the next 5 years.
Okay. And then Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, through you to Jeff, can you just help me a little bit? I really don't know much about the use of the facility and the structure, so this is very good for me. But it talks about third-party users. Can you give me some idea how many of that is? Is it substantial? Who is it?
Madam Mayor, do you mind if I'm opening
this? Yes, would you come to the microphone and introduce yourself? We welcome you.
Well, I'm happy to be here. My name is Nick Omer. I am the one of the operational managers for Trident Seafoods in Southeast Alaska. I've been the responsible for the plant here in Wrangell since 2017, which includes management of the cold storage facility. The cold storage itself is broken up into two parts. We call it, there's the cold side and the dry side. The dry side we use, which is the larger portion of the cold storage, we use that for warehousing, for storage, mostly packaging and while we're operating. And we actually have been actively using it for fishermen services for the last year. So our fishermen who want to work on their nets, they can go in there out of the rain and have access to it. The cold storage side, primarily Pacific Seafoods is the primary tenant. They have the bulk of the material being stored inside the facility. But we also, Great Glacier who comes through, Fathom Seafoods uses it, and then several just members of the community use it as well. Independent fishermen will store frozen at sea, you know, prawns will be stored in there or different products that they bring in, as well as the senior center uses it and other people in town.
Thank you. Okay. Follow up, I guess, is just a comment to everybody. I think this is a great example of the borough working with private entity for the benefit of the community. It's just a fantastic example. And I like the idea of this getting renewed, I guess, if you will, into 5 years instead of the annual, you know, kind of make do. It's a good thing to get more long-term commitments all around. So I'm going to support this.
Good. And we welcome Trident back to our community.
Absolutely.
We're happy to be here.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? All right, seeing none, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. And our final item tonight, item D, it's on page 63. Approval of a contract award to Sitka Electric Company Incorporated in the amount of $574,000 for the high school and middle school fire alarm replacement project.
Move to approve contract award to Sitka Electric Company Incorporated in the amount of $574,000 for the high school and middle school fire alarm replacement project.
I'll second it.
All right, so motion by Robbins, second by Morrison.
They were the low bid contractor that came in on that project. So yes. Happy to have them and look forward to working with them.
Yes.
Amber Alhadad, Capital Facilities Director. I just want to add, we have asked and recommended that the award be made, but something has come up, and I just want to make you all aware of it. So there's a new rule within the federal government. Everyone has to have now, it used to be called a DUNS number. You're all probably familiar with that. But now they're requiring everyone to have what they're calling a unique entity ID number. Mm-hmm. And you may not receive a federal payment, regardless of where you fall in the tier of recipients of federal funding, unless you have that number and you're registered in the system, SAM.gov system, as an active registrant. Sitka Electric has been registered, but their renewal expired in April. They have been trying to renew since May, so way before they even started looking at bidding on this project. I've been in touch with their case manager. This is happening across the nation. People are being, it's just because there's an influx in this new system. They've got more applicants and people renewing and new people just establishing themselves as a new entity within the system than the system can handle. So we're asking now, I probably should have talked to Kim and Jeff about this, we're asking for it to be awarded, but we may delay the award pending their receipt of that final renewal. HUD is the originating federal funder for this project through the CDBG program here in Alaska, and we reached out to them and asked them if we could award without having this number current. They said yes, we could, but you're taking the risk that if something happened and they didn't get their number for whatever reason, and generally it's because they've been debarred, and we've checked the state debarment list and they're not present there, so likely that's where a debarment would start. But you just never know. So we're asking for the award, but pending receipt of that, or we may decide to move forward, depending on the risk that we feel like we want to take to get this going.
All right. So
I don't know if that's throwing a wrench.
Well, no, but that's good to know, and it's understandable. Assembly, are you comfortable with having the manager make that determination? Assembly Member Dalrymple?
Just, is there any idea how long it would take? I mean, in this framework of the pause, should we put a limit on it?
You mean a time limit?
Yeah.
So I'll add that we reached out to Murkowski's office and asked if there was any help that they could give us, and they said that they have been trying. They recognize the problem, and they've been trying to help folks, but there's really nothing they can do, and they were the ones who suggested that we ask the funder whether or not we could go ahead and award, and of course they're saying we can, but there is no known time frame at this point as to when they could get their approval. We have, and the only, I'd say the only time sensitive matter here is that we're trying to get this awarded and start the process so that everything is in place by the time summer session, school session happens next year, so that the work can occur then. And, with the material delays that we're seeing across, all markets, we anticipate the fire alarm equipment and electrical equipment to be delayed, to have a long lead item as well, the lead items. So we want to get this moving as quickly as possible so that we're set up for that schedule to happen next summer.
Okay. And the number is, did you say entity ID number?
It's called a unique entity ID number.
Unique entity ID number.
That is through SAM.gov is where all of this happens.
Okay. Can I have a amendment, something that says subject to the approval of a proper unique entity ID number? Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Maybe it's not directly related to that, but I'm not sure. We have two paths to go, and I'm not sure which one mm-hmm. the city manager is recommending. Okay. Should we go ahead and take the risk or wait? I'm just wondering what your recommendation is.
My recommendation would be to wait till we have, because my guess is they could get it, but as long as everything, because this has taken a while for a lot of entities to get it, and I'm not sure what that timeline is going to be. And there's definitely a timeline that we're going to be up against as far as when they need to order parts for next school year. So
if it gets close to your drop dead timeline, will you bring it back
I will.
To us?
We'll bring it back with a yeah. with an option for something else.
Okay, I think we probably.
I don't think you need an amendment.
We don't need
an
amendment.
Yeah, I won't award it and without mm-hmm. them getting one.
Okay. Yes. So,
and I just will add, for the sake of conversation, the next low bidder is well over the engineers, the 10% that we generally will recommend an award, and we wouldn't have the funds to award that. So just you've got the bid openings checklist in front of you,
right.
So you can see what that looks like.
Okay. Assembly comfortable with that
mm-hmm.
approach?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions? All right, seeing none, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Morrison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeVore?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. The attorney's file is available in the clerk's office for any Assembly member to look at. No executive session. And Assembly, we're going to adjourn at 6:48.